he graciously let me see a copy of the bill in its initial iteration. I have read the most recent version. I take him at his word that his intent is to protect. My concern about this bill and my very strong opposition to this bill rests in the fact that it is a solution in search of a problem. Georgia is not a state that has had a rash of religious freedom infringements. One of the issues that has been pointed to is the issue of the mosque. There are solutions already embedded in our Constitution, embedded in the federal Constitution, that grant remedies. I, as a general matter, believe that we should legislate as little as possible. This is not necessary legislation. It does not solve a problem, but it creates a host of problems, not the least of which is that it creates a dynamic that allows for discrimination against a class that is not protected by our state constitution or by our statute, and that is the LGBT community. If we want to solve for that problem, and I think it's a very fundamental problem that our constitution does not acknowledge the need to include the LGBT community in the protected class status, I'm all for conversation about protecting that community. But what I am not in favor of, and this is as the daughter of two ministers, I do not see the need in the state of Georgia for us to adopt legislation to create some false sense of protection, because religious liberties are neither under attack, but there are already remedies if we believe they are.
You mentioned the LGBT community, and right now, as you know, there's a lawsuit challenging Georgia's amendment banning same-sex marriage. But what are your thoughts about whether Georgia needs to just accept it, get in line, or Attorney General Sam Owens has said he is going to uphold the state's law?
When I ran for office in 2006, I was asked this question, and I answered unequivocally then, and I will do so now. I believe in same-sex marriage. I believe that there is nothing embedded in our Constitution that should give us the right to separate out and treat differently those who have made committed relationships. This is, for me, a very easy question. I appreciate the difficulty a number of folks have had grappling with this issue, and I think it's a legitimate set of discussions, but I think we're now at the place where we have to, as a state, acknowledge that the decision that was made by voters in 2004 was not the right decision, and that we have an affirmative obligation to overturn that decision and to join the 30-plus states that acknowledge that their adult citizens should enjoy same rights.
And Georgia continues to be one of the states that has some very unique, different amendments and standards. I'm going toward the death penalty here, the state's capital punishment standard when it comes to proving mental disability to avoid execution. Your thoughts on what this state, if any, what you all as lawmakers need to do or to possibly revisit that?
I would say this. Our law as it's currently situated is unconscionable. I am pleased that there is a posture right now by the Supreme Court to look at where we sit. My hope is that at the legislative level, we can begin to address the issue because there's no justification for the decisions that we've made as a state.
Let's talk about drug testing for welfare recipients.
Twice now we have adopted drug testing laws, and each time they've been enjoined because of the status of the Florida law. There is neither proof nor necessity for drug testing of welfare recipients. It's based on a deeply flawed and offensive presumption that poor people are drug users. And I find it offensive on a host of levels, but more than that, it's unlawful. It is a violation of the notions of search and seizure. And luckily, the courts in Florida, the federal courts, have repeatedly acknowledged that this is a dumb idea. It doesn't solve a problem. It allows us to demonize a group, and it allows us to continue to create separated statuses in our society that harm how effectively we can grow together.
Clean air.
You're running the gamut today.
I know.
Okay.
Where are you all looking at in terms of coming up with a plan that meets the goals of the newly proposed federal rules on coal emission?
So the PSC and the regulators are actually in conversation. Part of the challenge is that the final rules have not been set. As those rules are set and issued, I think we will certainly, as a state, work to meet those obligations. I think there are legitimate conversations about how we get there. I think we have a plant here that's one of the top producers, and we derive about a third of our energy production from coal. It is disingenuous to say that we're going to suddenly eradicate coal usage in the state of Georgia. And I think that while that might be a fantastic goal, it has to take into account the infrastructure cost and the needs of the community. And so we have to balance a number of things, which, you know, can sound a bit waffly. But here's what I would say. I think that the EPA standards set goals and set objectives that are important. I think we as a state have to understand how we get there, because it is absurd to set goals that we can't meet, either because our economics don't allow it or because our infrastructure isn't situated for it. Both of those are solvable problems, but they may not be solved in the time frame that folks would like to see it. We don't have the luxury of not solving for it, but we also don't have the ability to solve problems that we don't have the resources to solve.
Is it necessary for the state of Georgia to apologize for slavery?
I am deeply sympathetic to and aware of the rationale for requesting that apology. It is not something that is my mission. I grew up in southern Mississippi. I grew up with parents who were very involved in the civil rights movement, but with grandparents and great-grandparents who remember living on plantations after slavery, you know, ended, and have very strong memories of how that disrupted their family. But I think sometimes we focus on the statement of contrition where we should be focused on the act of change. And my focus as a legislator, my focus as a public servant is on the act of change. How do we adapt and grow our society so that we acknowledge the history and deal with the reality of the vestiges of slavery in our society? So I'm not opposed to it. It's not going to be my mission, but I appreciate the concern behind it.
How crucial do you feel your role is in this legislative session and getting Democrats to get a lot of this stuff through?
I think we have had a memory lapse. If you ask folks where the Democratic Party stood in early 2013 or 2012, if you'd ask anyone if they thought in March of 2013 that the Democratic Party would be competitive in a Senate election or gubernatorial election in 2014, we would have been scoffed at. I am pleased by how competitive those elections were, because what that meant was that for the first time in a very long time, every voice had to be listened to, and that should be our goal. Our goal as a state should be to include as many voices as possible in the conversation. My mission as minority leader is to guide the members that have been kind enough to elect me to serve as their leader, to help guide a strategy for us as a caucus to discuss and debate and engage on issues. Within our caucus, we will not always agree, and across the chambers, we will not always have the same strategy that the Senate Democratic Caucus has. We will not always agree within ourselves or even as a state, but responsible governance says that you cooperate where you can. So we find places where we can work together. Transportation, I believe, is going to be one of those spaces. We don't know what that looks like yet because we haven't seen a plan, but I think we all agree that transportation is a critical issue. And so that's going to be a place where we can work together. We should compete where we can. Where we fundamentally disagree and believe that the other side is wrong, we should do our best to defeat those initiatives. And I would put our fight last year on drug testing in that lens. And I'm not going to speak for my caucus because we haven't had a discussion about this year's iteration of the bill, but the religious freedom bill, I think, is going to be one of those conversations. Where do we stand and how do we compete to protect those groups that we believe deserve the protection of government? But most of all, our job is accountability. And my job as minority leader is to help us find ways to hold not only ourselves, but the entirety of government accountable. And that is a sacred responsibility. That means that if we are doing our jobs well, if I'm doing my job well, then the people of Georgia feel that they have been served. And so I think that how successful we can be this year is not measured by what we pass or don't pass. It's measured by how effective were we at improving the lives of Georgians. And I think that is a measurable goal. And we'll look for how we do at the end.
House Minority Leader Stacey Abrams, thank you so much for coming in and taking the time. I appreciate it.
Rose, thank you for asking varied and intensive questions.
Thank you.